Okay, so thank you very much for staying for the last talk of the day and last talk of the year for the collaboration DevRoom. So thanks a lot. I see people that stayed a lot during the day, so thank you. So the last presentation is with Mateus, which will be the challenges of creating a false fact-checking platform for the Brazilian community. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, can you hear me okay? Yeah, and thanks. Appreciate everyone here. I thought it would be less people, so I really appreciate that. It's my first time at FOSDEM as well. Let me introduce myself. I am a senior product manager at the Wikimedia Foundation, working on MediaWiki. But this project is a different hat that I wear. I'm volunteer on an NGO in Brazil, and we are trying to combat fake news and make something that is open and in software, in data, and in knowledge. So what I want to talk about here is the mission of this project, and I'm going to go over the challenges of trying to do something against misinformation in Brazil. Brazil is like a very fertile soil for misinformation, especially recently. And the reason for that to arise in my will was basically because seeing how my family was sharing and spreading misinformation, it's how it all started. So I started imagining, so I'm a co-founder, I'm not the only one that volunteered on this project, but we started imagining a society where everyone can freely access and engage with true and reliable information with autonomy. And I kind of stole a little bit of the Wikimedia Foundation mission here because we share similar values. So the mission for this project is to encourage edu communication. I'm not going to talk about it because the other co-founder, which is a journalist, is the one that kind of coined or uses that term. But basically it means that we can only achieve our mission if we actually educate people. And we need to communicate that. So the platform and everything, all the product, what entails, it all focuses on this specific pillar. But the idea is that for the values on accessibility, credibility, and autonomy, we are creating individuals, or we are making autonomous individuals in Brazil being able to access information, or at least question information, without losing the credibility. And so when we started, so this is a study from Kaspersky, So more than 70% of Brazilians with internet have believed in the fake news, and 62% of Brazilians fail to recognize false news. So this was a study that at the time was what motivated us to keep going. And challenges were immense because it forced us to tweak planning and change and pivot a lot in the years of the foundational years, which is this kind of a timeline, which I call the foundational years, because I'm even excluding here all of the technical exploration that I did since 2018. But in 2020, when I thought that, okay, we have technology and maybe we're ready to proceed, we signed up for the Mozilla Open Lab. We participated receiving product mentorship and preparing an ideation, which came to be Aletheia Effect. From that exploration with Mozilla, it was very interesting because we decided, so we came as dreamers, like we want to do something multilingual for everyone. We want to fix the world because the logo of that program that we participated was fixing the internet. And then we learned that it wouldn't be like that. So we would have a focus group, we'd only focus in Brazil. We would look into people that is already engaging with fact-checking, or at least reading about fact-checking somehow. So active readers or independent fact-checkers, even professional fact-checkers. And then we would even look into a specific demographics, which would be from the age of 18 to 29, would represent like 16% of Brazil. And we set a goal that if we get 0.1% of that, 35,000 potential independent fact checkers, which is an increase of 7,000% of professional fact checkers in Brazil. And I'm going to talk about this a little bit because we did this exploration on Mozilla Open Lab. Then we started working on the infrastructure and launched the infrastructure and tried to experiment more. We participated on the trust, it's the TTO, it's the Trust and Truth Online, conference. And so we introduced the concept of the democratization of fact-checking in Brazil, which is something that we are looking forward. And in the same year, we started a residency at Projeto Comprova, which is a group of news outlets and independent organizations that combat fake news in Brazil. And we did, by participating on that, we actually engaged with our personas, our professional fact checkers. And from that point, we started exploring a platform focused on professional fact checkers only. So we wanted to do something to speed up their process, make sure that they were the process were optimized and it could actually chase fake news and combat it. So with that in mind, we thought that we are ready to formalize. And then we started understanding what that would entail. So with these learnings, we understanding that we defined that with process transparency and the didactic of representation, we could enable a fact-checking manual or operational guideline, and then we could replicate that and create autonomy of the individuals that we wanted. So the methodology should be accessible and understandable, and that's the requirement that forced us to be aligned with the Creative Commons license for our data, and also everything that we create from courses or workshops are all open and available. And we also had some in the last year, I'll also talk about that, but we had multiple workshops and partnerships with universities in Brazil. And all of that was free and based on the knowledge sharing proposed. And the platform or the product that I mainly worked on would be just a facilitator or a place where people could use and engage with. And our main goal was that, so we were here in 2021, we wanted to reach the Brazilian elections with something that we could be used for good. So then we formalized, and then we participated on the Global Fact 9 conference, which is organized by the IFCN, the International Fact Checking Network. And when we got there, we went to validate some of the use cases that we have built. And it was like a bucket of ice on us, because we understood that there is a different dynamics happening on fact-checking community. So one of the things is they are very wary of being open, mostly because that can be weaponized by bad actors and create more problems to them. So every software that they write, it's not always open source. It's not always open. Licenses, because they are mostly tied to news outlets, they don't always follow the Creative Commons license. So everything that we have built to create a shared space, like a public digital space for people, was not going to work with professional fact checkers. So we understood that, we pivoted, but we kept the same model, the same values, and we went forward and launched a platform with a few people, like 15 volunteers, because we created in the platform we created a process where we would listen to the debates and during the Brazilian elections and do live fact checking, and it was good. So this is just a screenshot of some of the parts of the functionality. So here, if you have something highlighted, it means that it was fact checked by someone, and the experiment was very good, very small as well, because if you look into our views, you're going to see that you only have like 1,000 views. But the impressions from the people and the what we were able to achieve was a good data to proceed forward. But because this is a very small project and very, very small organization, we were dreaming big for a presidential election, trying to do an impact. And of course, the stretch goal is there. But what we learned is there is a use case. We can do that, but we need to begin small. So we took a step back and look into what we can really do with our resourcing. And from that, we decided that we would have three product pillars: the fact checker productivity, access to credible information, and reduce obstacles to product. So talking about the last one first, because we were very small, it doesn't work like our reference, which is Wikipedia. It doesn't work like that. You cannot just go anonymously and do a fact checking. You cannot go and create an account and start doing it because we don't have a governance model, or we didn't have at the time. We didn't have a governance model. We have had a lot of obstacles. So we put obstacles on purpose so we could only test with a few people and understand what we need to do. And then we need to now remove those obstacles because we are becoming more confident that now this can be used by everyone, and we are going to have a procedure, a code of conduct, and a governance model that will help. Access to credible information is the one that we are not focused too much right now, because we believe that from the model that we have plus the productivity, we are going to create the credible information, but access to it is a little bit different. So we need to be able to make sure that the audiences that we serve are actually being able to access this, and they can access the platform. We also provide good SEO using the claim review schema, and to be able to be searchable without people having to go to the platform. However, in Brazil, we have a lot of people that, so there is an inequality or disparity of resources in Brazil that includes internet access, in a sense that people can have data plans that can only work with WhatsApp, but they cannot access internet. They can access Instagram, but they cannot access Wikipedia. So the access level is a total different game that we are still studying how we're going to approach. But because these are not our focus, we should not lose sight as well. So that's why it's a product pillar. And the productivity was because of an opportunity that we had, because in 2023, we started a partnership with the University of the State of São Paulo, which I actually came from and did my bachelor there. And we had four interns, and this is the other co-founder, our SEO. I like to call her my president. And these four students were our focus group, in the sense that they are very fresh, like first year journalists. They know nothing about life, more or less. Maybe they can learn from TikTok now, but. The idea is that they should have no knowledge at all and be just willing to work on. And we had a very smooth process, and it was very refreshing because they finished 4 months of internship having the same level of productivity than news outlets when we were delivering fact-checking material. So, of course, different levels of comparison, but in any way, as I mentioned, the platform was launched a while ago. This 2022 is when we did the experiments with the debates, and then we see that, at least from the platform, we are increasing the engagement of the functionality. So we still have pretty much the same unique visitors, but now people are using the platform more because now we actually have productivity for the team. So these are just a few screenshots of the platform. The code is in GitHub, and you can access this. There will be a link in the end of the presentation. And so this is an example of a fact-checking report that is it's available after the fact. And as I mentioned, so we focus a lot on the productivity of the fact checkers. So we started putting in place tools that would be tied to a specific workflow, which is flexible. The way, so technically speaking, we are using state machines here to control everything, and we adjusted the processes and adding different steps depending on how we learned with the team. And the idea is to have a visibility of the productivity, and I'll also be able to collect data and see, is this actually improving? Because once we, if we actually reach the goal that I mentioned before, like 35,000 people checking facts in Brazil, it's going to be a very different thing to administrate and make sure that it runs smoothly. So this is, I think, that the learns. A few things that I think I would like to mention from the experiment. It was in Brazil, the open source community is very spread, not so much well organized. So the whole period of creating the software, trying to test the software, only captured 6 volunteers like actively working on it, which it looks like, well, this is actually pretty good, but I forced most of my friends to actually go there and, hey, come on, you know how to QA things. Can you help me QA this? You are a DevOps engineer. Can you create a pipeline to me? So this was kind of a best effort from a community. But after all of this, what happened was that a lot of entry-level engineers were starting to looking for something to work on, and they were, because we had partnerships with universities, we started having people just coming and trying to learn with the software, which was a very good experience. And something that I would like to explore moving forward. It requires more management on the technical side, being able to actually provide good feedback to them. We now have like 2 or 3 active volunteers that they are 20 years old and just learn how to code. And now they actually provide good development for the platform. Of course, there is a skill to consider, but there was this challenge. So the time frame when I look to this project, like 5 years is a lot for the stage that we are at, but there were multiple factors there, like it's a product for a very specific area, it's a problem that no one solves yet, and the only way that I see moving forward is doubling down the educational effort for the actual goal, which is being able to provide credible information and stop the spreading of misinformation. There is no other way around. There is no other software. There is no AI. There is nothing that can help other than having humans understanding what they are reading, understanding what they are consuming, and being able to have something that is accessible. So I also put here multi-generational, because in Brazil, it's the disparity on misinformation spread is based on age as well. So the older you are, the bigger the chance to be a victim of misinformation. And what we are also going to be looking at generative AI. So, and I write it here with all the truth in my heart that I have no clue what we're going to do about it. And the reason that I put it here is because it's not that we need to use generative AI, but we need to defend against it, which is, I think, very different perspective to look at. Of course, maybe we need to make pieces with the devil, use the same tools to combat at the same level, but the concerns are different because we are already seeing on multiple elections around the world the usage of deepfakes and generative AI to manipulate public speech. And so this is going to be a very difficult thing to do. However, because we are losing the battle, we need to consider. And that's it. The code is open source. It works specifically for an audience in Brazil. It has been tailor suited for that. But since the beginning we were concerned about having this for multiple audiences, so it allows internationalization. The code is the reason that so the stack that we chose, and one of the things. So the stack we chose was Node.js and React because the ability to find more people to join the effort. But that, of course, we are now considering if it makes sense to keep the same stack or rewrite some of the stuff, because if we want to be lean and optimize for some use cases, we might also consider performance and other things that right now the platform doesn't provide. And I forgot to mention something very important. Everything that we do is integrated with Wikidata right now, and we have efforts to integrate with the whole public data infrastructure. The idea is that we only have what it needs to be done for fact checking, but information about personality, more information on Wikipedia, all of that should be included and integrated with the ecosystem. And in the end, we encourage other people to build their own communities and be part of the movement. Fork and change, toss it off, test the same things that we did. I think that because it's something very, very important and it's going to change a lot in the next few years, I believe that we should double down the effort as much as we can. That's it. It was supposed to be a GIF, but it's a PDF. So thank you. Thank you very much for the attention.
Thank you, Mateus. Any question?
Hello. Hello. So I was looking at the website, and I see the personalities and the declarations, and I see the reviewers. But then how do you define or who puts the new declarations in for the fact checkers to really check it?
Yeah. So one of the things that we learned from the procedure of the fact-checking is that monitoring has a specific operational guideline. So one example that a fact-checker might find too is that they receive a disinformation, but they look into how is this happening on Twitter X? How is this being spread into Facebook? How is this being spread on WhatsApp? Is this a big effort? Does it make sense to actually check? Because there is one thing which is called the strategic silence. Because if someone checks, it makes more public and it spreads more. So the decision on what to put in there is for the volunteers that have been have the capability to operate a platform. So right now, in order to operate a platform, you need to go over the training, understand how our code of conduct works, sign that you understand and you are going to vouch for it. And once you understand the whole process, then you're able to operate the platform and you will be responsible for monitoring. So these volunteers are the ones that also select what is put in there. But we receive suggestions from community in Brazil, from people that follow us, and we use that into consideration to decide on if we're going to put on a platform or not. And because it's a small group, it's going to be small data now, but the idea is to streamline this process and grow, and possibly monitoring will need to evolve based on that. Does that make sense?
Thank you.
It's the last one.
I'm from the UK. We have a few fact-checking organizations there. Do you connect, or are you intending to connect with other similar organizations around the world?
Yeah. So we did, when I talked about being part of the Global Fact 9, which is part of the International Fact Checking Network, we learned a lot and met a lot of the I think Full Fact is one, the biggest one, and one that we got in touch. And now we are in the process of being part of this network. There's a lot of criteria. It's, if we do it, we are going to be the first open project that actually enters. So we are having some trouble to actually match, you know, on some of the criteria that they ask. But we have some connections with India. We have some connections with the Latin America network as well. And recently we joined the network that is only on Brazil. So every news outlet in Brazil are also part of this network, and we are connecting with them as well. Yeah, we need that.
Okay, thank you. Other questions? No? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And well, that was the collaboration dev room for 224, so thank you for staying until the end.